Hello.
How the bloody hell are you?
Full of energy.
Terry.
Yes.
I got something for that motherfucking AS of yours. It's a twofer, actually.
Yeah.
Later on in the episode, we're going to be breaking down our top five cover songs. Thank you very much, Rob, for the suggestion.
They're great. Honestly, I could do like four more versions of this.
Yeah, I know. Like, and he had a few suggestions now.
Yeah, and we will be dipping into those ones again, Rob.
But well, the rest of you give us.
Yeah.
Only the rest of you like Edison that much.
Yeah.
But before that, we are going to talk a little bit about me and Terry went to the movies.
Yeah.
We went to see Bad Boys Ride or Die. Why, you ask? I got free tickets. A little company called Sony Pictures messaged me personally to say, we want to give you two tickets and a VIP free drink party. I said, stick the party up your arse, but I'll take your free tickets.
I was actually interested in going to the party originally, and then it's like, you put it very succinctly.
Yeah, I said it to Kerry. I was like, first... I said to Terry, I sent you the message from Sony. I was hoping that you would do one of two things, and you did one of them. I was like, are you either gonna? I'm like, we can't do this, can we? And then I was like, either he's going to say, nah, unfortunately not, and I'd be like, great, or he's gonna push me and make me do it. And fortunately, you pushed me and made me.
You never.
When you're calling me, I'm like, ah, fuck, he wants to go.
I got so excited.
And anyway, so I said to Kerry, and I was like, look, there's a VIP thing. And she's like, if you want to go to a club in town on a Tuesday night, sleep in your maz, and then get up for work early the next morning, be my guest.
It was.
And I was like, you know what? That sounds awful.
We recorded here with Kevin McGarren last week, and then we made our way into town, fashionably late. But when we got there...
I took it in my stride, I think.
Did you?
Been late.
You were all right. Yeah. No, in fairness, you were okay. Yeah. You were freaking out for a little bit.
Yeah. But, internally, I was losing it, but I was trying to keep it together.
Yeah, KIT, man. You did a good job. And I'd taken a bit of a gummy before we got there. Oh, yeah. And... I think it kicked in like right as we sat down.
Nice.
And like we were late, so they only had seats. It was a giant IMAX screen at the top of Cineworld, screen 17, and we had seats up the very front and to the side.
Oh my god. it was just one of those where I'm like, I couldn't tell. Like, I know Martin Lawrence looks a bit fucked up these days.
Does he look fucked up?
He's a bit of a
big neck. Like, you know, looks like he's throwing a couple of cheeseburgers in his folds.
He looks...
for winter, like, you know?
He looks a little bit like Jabba.
No.
But you know what? It's not that he doesn't look fat. He just looks
like he has a swollen neck.
A bit warped or something.
Or like
his eyes are
cheeks,
kind of real
like,
bulging. And
he
his
looks
cheeks.
Like Mac from Mac and Me.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And I couldn't tell what was him and what was the left angled. It's the first time. Normally, I've sat in the front before and I haven't really thought at none of it. This was a proper like, I can't see. We got free popcorn and water.
Water.
I know.
Give me a fucking break. Like, give me a 7-Up or a Sprite or whatever. Like, you know,
dick.
But what was jarring for me was seeing the young folk that were all gonna go out afterwards.
Oh, I know.
They're like, some of the girls are in like ball gowns.
I know.
Like, and
I was like, to tickets to Club Soho, whatever it is. One of the girls was like, I'll take the tickets if you're not going. I was like, no. They're non-transferable.
Are they?
That's what they said, yeah. But like, you know what I seen? The only person I saw there who I had seen before was this TikTok guy, the protein bar guy, big muscly ginger guy.
Joe McGuckin was at it because I saw on his story. I didn't see him. I just saw on a story later on that he was like, it was literally like Sony Ireland and he was at the top.
Oh, right.
Just taking pictures, filming the crowd or whatever. Like,
I wanted to get some shots. I had a funny bit planned, but
we were late.
Didn't happen. Didn't happen in the end. Yeah.
And to be honest, we were like, let's get a picture in front of the Bad Boys ride or die. And it was some like professional photographer who was like, just stand in there, like to all the other people. I was like, let's get out of here. Like,
it was like, I was standing there for like
2 minutes. We were like, two minutes. Yeah.
And then we were waiting for our chance to go and get a shot. And then I was like, let's go. Let's get in. But you know what?
It was like they oversold it because like, do you have your seats already?
It was fucking packed.
Yeah, do you have your seats already? And I was like, no. But like, it's almost like, oh, we don't have the seats for people. I was like, sorry, you know.
I even got an invite here.
You know how much the theater holds. Like, why are you giving out extra fucking tickets?
Many
like,
invites, exactly. And then your mom was like, oh, Tone. Oh, no, I thought you were someone else. I'm like, I am his brother. Yeah. Front row, left-hand side. It's like, no, it's not him. It's not him. Stick him there. Yeah.
The movie was good.
Do you know what? I was expecting it to be absolute dog shit. Yeah. Maybe that's because we just did Bad Boys 2 on the main feed. And I expected
that. We did that because we went to see this, though.
Yeah. But like, I expected this. I was like by the third one, which I hadn't seen, I was like, what are you doing?
Third one's did almost you see the third 20 one? Years. Yeah, I watched it at home.
Was it good? Shit.
I'd actually kind of think I would like to watch it again now.
Do you know what?
I didn't really like it because it kind of like there's parts in it where they mention like Mike's ex, being a witch.
Oh, right.
And you're like oh she's a crazy woman. It's like no, she's a literal voodoo witch for the cartel or something. You're like what? Like when?
When did this happen?
And it's like, oh, this happened all before the first movie. She made Mike Lowry, and it's like, okay, like tacked on. But like the action in the fourth one, it's the same director as the third one, and the action is the action
was decent.
I actually quite like it because it's like Michael Bay's style, only cleaner. I think. You know what I mean?
Cleaner
like,
is the word.
The geography is a lot.
You can see what's happening.
And you understand where's what or whatever like that. Like, yeah. You know?
I thought when we were coming into this one, the thing about that one is that like, it kind of knows what it is now. Yeah. Do you know the way like Fast and the Furious, like it's not the same as Fast and the Furious, but it's like they kind of know and they're leaning into the absurdity. And like Bad Boys, I think Bad Boys 2 was trying to be Bad Boys 1, but just bigger. Yeah. And then, I don't know what 3 was, I hadn't seen it. But 4, it seems to have its own thing.
4
now.
Is, like, better comedically than 2. And 2 is, like, trying to be really broad. And 4, but, like, 4, there's bits in it that I thought were quite funny, where it's, like, literally the first scene, they have to stop, because Martin Lawrence
he has to get
Pepto-Bismol or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And Buddy also like wants to get Skittles and a hot dog. And Will Smith is like, don't break your diet or whatever. Then the store gets held up while he's there. And like he's like, come on. Like Will Smith comes in and he's like, come on, you gotta go. And he's like, he has a gun to my head. And you're like, Martin Lawrence's comedic timing in it is very good.
I thought Martin Lawrence was gonna be hard to watch in this because I'm like, can he even talk anymore? Like, can he run? Can he do anything? Like,
it really helps that they make him unhinged in it. That he's
he has
a near death experience.
Yeah.
And then it's like, he's crazy.
Yeah, like the whole movie, it's like he has this near death experience at the start, and the rest of the movie, he's like accepting his fate and just kind of like crazy. It's not my time. It's like bigger picture. Yeah. Like he's onto something that no one else
he's
is.
He's on a different frequency.
I love that angle. But like
the bit like when they're driving the car and it's like it's okay. The fire's on the
fire's on the outside.
And then it's like it's the inside. It's like, oh no, now the fire's on the inside.
The way he even delivered that summed up the sort of and like somehow
it's a big
it works.
Close up of his big giant
big eyes. It's like, it's okay, the fire's on the outside. Yeah. And then it's like, Now the fire's on the inside.
Oh shit.
Like, yeah. Like so dumb. But you know what? I left the movie with a smile.
Yeah, me too.
And like, I didn't think, like, fuck that. Like, I left Bad Boys. Well, I didn't leave, but I finished Bad Boys 2 thinking, fuck that movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, some good bits, but ultimately, fuck that movie. Whereas this one, I was like, yeah, some good bits, but I liked
like,
it.
Like, on my Letterboxd, I gave this 3.5.
Yeah.
And I gave...
I did 2, I think.
I gave Bad Boys 2, 3. And I actually think maybe I should give it 2.5.
2.5,
I
yeah.
I probably think I should, like, knock it down a peg.
Yeah. After, I think it's a 5 out of 10.
After talking with you. But, look, it's...
I would, do you know what? It
actually makes me want to go and watch 3 again.
I really wished when I was watching it that I was front, that I was maybe mid-center, yeah. So I could actually watch it for all its glory.
Well, whenever it comes to Netflix, they seem to be collecting them like
they
Infinity
do, yeah.
Stones. Like,
but I will say I was pleasantly surprised by Bad Boys 4.
What I wasn't pleasantly surprised about was the way people dress these days.
I know, right?
And then just to tie a bow on like the going out on a Thursday night or a Tuesday night. There was a guy that I clocked there while I was waiting for you to come out of the toilet.
Oh yeah,
and you'd gone
that
downstairs apparently.
Where is he?
It's just so many people. Like, I was like, there can't still be people coming out of the cinema. There was a guy there who was like skinny leather jacket, like probably like 45, wispy spiky hair, and I was like,
This is
Tuesday night. This is every Tuesday night that he does be going out. I'm like, whoa.
That makes me
sad. Doesn't it? Like,
makes me sad. Yeah, I know. I
sleep in a big bed of my knife. My wife, buddy.
With my knife.
Yeah. That too. I gotta admit, this is pretty great.
It was fun though.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was thinking maybe we'll... when we make our big changeover, we might try and get to the movies more often and put a few new releases behind here. What do you think about that? Yeah? What do you guys think about that? Sound off in the...
new movies, yes.
But we're going to get right into our top 5.
On a completely switching gears.
Yeah. Top 5 cover versions.
Yes.
Do you want to go first?
Yes, I'll go first.
It's hard.
I don't know if I can... Do you want them in order from 5 to 1?
Sure. Sure do.
You know what?
I'm going to play a bit each one. How about that?
Oh. All right. I will go with... number 5. I will go with... I'm just going to get it out of the way. Because I would like it, but in terms of talking about it... Hurt... by Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Play us a little bit there.
Original by the Nine Inch Nails. Sure, hang on. Yeah, so. What I love about it is that, like, it just takes on a whole new meaning, coming with his old, shaky, like, regret sort of is the theme.
It's great. It's
and
an amazing
video. The
yeah.
video adds to it as well. And the fact that it was so... close to the end of his life, and it's just such a, like, because, like, the Nine Inch Nails version is grand.
I don't actually like it, to be honest.
Yeah,
I don't like Nine Inch Nails.
I don't like them either.
Love Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for their music scores and stuff like that, but I found them very hard.
It's
like
just,
Sonic
yeah.
Youth, very hard
yeah.
to get into. Like, I never
I tried to get into Sonic Youth when I was younger. I couldn't do it, but
except for that one that they use in Juno. And then, Juno turns around and is like, the rest of it is shit. And I'm like, yes, Juno, yeah. I'm with you. Like,
But, yeah, I just think, like, what makes this a good cover for me is that it kind of takes on a new meaning. Because, like, the Nine Inch Nails version is kind of like, I'm a fuck-up. But, like, the Johnny Cash one is like, I'm at the end of my life and I've made so many mistakes. This shaky kind of old voice and just the very, just
you
very
are
poignant.
Someone else. I am still right here. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all. My empire of dirt.
recommend if you like cover Johnny Cash doing covers. There's the album American 4, The Man Comes Around. I think it might be on it. But he does like Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Right.
He does In My Life. He does Desperado.
Desperado.
Yeah, his Desperado is good.
Ooh.
He does Personal Jesus. His Personal Jesus is really fucking good.
That's
interesting. Your own personal Jesus.
I
recommend that album has a few on it that's really good. Really good.
Interesting. I mean, I do... Yeah, I was
like Bridge Over, his Bridge Over Troubled Water is very good as well. Like.
Do you know, and I will say about the criteria, there's a few, I was looking through for some inspo earlier, and I was like, there's some where I'm like, oh, I never realized that was a cover, but I'm not going to count it. You know what I mean? Like, there were some where I'm like, if I haven't heard the original, I kind of, now, that, I'm saying you had to abide by the same criteria. But if
I actually went and listened to a few that I'd never heard the original of.
Oh, okay.
Because I love the song, and I knew it was a cover.
Yeah.
But the cover, the original, might have been a little bit before my time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was very interesting to be like,
okay, well, okay, hit me with your number five. All
right, I'm gonna play a bit for you now. Right,
go on.
It's by a very cool band that nobody talks about. Okay, come on. Here it comes. All right.
Who's that?
It's Cake.
Fucking Cake.
I love Cake. And it's their version of I Will Survive.
Well,
of course, Gloria Gaynor did the original, but I just...
You think that's better?
that's not the assignment, Andy. It's
just
top five.
Question.
It's top... You haven't even listened to the whole thing. We should put them on a playlist, actually.
Yeah.
But I love that tune. they're such a... For me, a really cool band. And like, what I love about it is...
I never heard of them except when you talk about them.
I mean, you surely have heard Short Skirt and Long Jacket.
I don't think so.
No.
The only one here is that played in the car one time that has embedded itself in my algorithm.
Yeah, because it's great.
I fucking every time. Anyway, sorry.
What I love about that tune
is
kind of what you were saying. They make it their own completely.
Yeah.
That is not Gloria Gaynor.
It sounds like, for one, as little as I know, a Cake song.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
But it's as far as disco or whatever as they can get. And I just think, I love it when a band will take a song and put their own spin on it.
Put their own stank on
it. Yeah, absolutely. I learned how to get along, and so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here without that look upon your face. I should have changed my fucking lock. I would have made you leave your key if I'd have known for just one second you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go walk out the door. Just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one? It's hard. Like, you're the one I kind of had in that slot. My number five slot was like Muse and Feeling Good.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
I love the Nina Simone version so much.
And
the Muse one, like when I was looking up, it's like near the top of all these lists of like best cover songs of all time. And it is good.
It is good, yeah, it is good.
I don't know, it's hard.
It's almost top five. It was top 10, maybe.
I know it's all very subjective. Like, I could have a different top five on another day.
Yeah, that's kind of it, isn't it? Like, feel like I would... Let me just check the levels. I feel like I could have... It depends on the day of the week, to be honest. With all these top fives, to be honest. All right.
Okay.
I'm going to go with my number four.
Yeah. Yay.
The vocals. Woo! Here's what I love about this song, right?
Yes.
The energy from Paul, right? Obviously,
Why didn't you tell them what it was?
Sorry, it was Long Tall Sally. Originally by Little Richard and covered by the Beatles early in their career. What I love about that is like, that's all one take as well. Like the music and the singing, like that's one. So like just the energy of like whatever, the fucking piano going, and it was just like, I think Paul, I think that that's one of Paul's best vocals, like in any Beatles song. I just think it's so energetic, and like they just kind of make it their own. They were big Little Richard fans and all that, but like,
I mean, that's what their early stuff is kind of all based on.
Yeah, that, you know,
that, I mean, Twist and Shout was one that I could have put on there as well.
Yeah,
you know, I steered away from it. There's a bunch of their early stuff.
That's what I was looking through. I was like, is there? And I was like, you could go with, you know, A Taste of Honey was up there.
I love A Taste of Honey,
but it just sounds. It's just the excitement of youth or something in this Long Tall Sally version, where it's just like, fuck, like from the second it goes, it starts.
It's an all-timer tune, in general.
Like. I picked it because it's one of my favorite Paul singing songs. That's my number four.
All right, I'm gonna go now.
Hit me.
I'm a bit off the beaten track, but I've been getting into a bit of this type of song lately.
Come on.
So.
I mean,
straight away,
I would only be your way.
Let's just listen. I mean, it goes on for 10 minutes or whatever, but like, or
do you know what I can't help but think of when I hear that song now? Adam Sandler in Bulletproof. He's like, and then you see the gun going into his crack. Could you get that thing out of my ass? It's like the guy's passing by the window. Hey, buddy. He's all soapy ass.
You'll always be my bodyguard. Or the end of. Actually, I was quite touched when I watched This Is the End.
Yeah.
And it's like. He's like, you don't drag me down. You lift me up. When it's all like dropped there. I just fucking.
It's great, a great song.
Like, I've got hairs standing up my arm. Like.
With me. So goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need.
Whitney Houston, like, this is a brilliant documentary on her, and she had a very tough life, but she has such an amazing voice.
Yeah,
maybe it's because I'm older now and I have a bit more introspect. Or maybe Kevin was onto something last week when he said I was a serial killer, because I really feel like Patrick Bateman in American Psycho was onto something when he was talking about how great Whitney Houston is and how she was the voice of an angel and like. I don't know.
She, I just, do you know what?
Of course, Dolly Parton did the original, of course. Sorry, I meant to say.
I don't think she really gets the credit that she deserves.
She doesn't.
Even
like,
though, like, I feel like she's dead now, right?
Yeah. Drugs.
Isn't that always the story? I feel like Mariah Carey gets a better rep than her these days. You know what I mean? Maybe that's just, maybe I'm totally wrong.
No, I get
like,
it. Like,
I don't think she should, but, you know, I feel like, do you know what? I feel like Whitney Houston, no, actually, that's not true either, because, like, my mom had a greatest hits, like, I'm Every Woman, like, all these songs were just played in the micro in the early 90s when we were going to school up and back, you know.
What I found, I listened to this song recently, like, in my mind, it's like, oh yeah, it's her, you know, amazing showcase voice. But the music in it, like the fucking sax.
You're
like, ooh.
Feeling something else here, Jerry.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I just.
That's a good point.
I think it's a slept on one. I don't think a lot of people are like, oh, is that a cover?
Yeah.
You know, like.
Like, what other one, bigger one, did Dolly Parton, or was that it?
Dolly Parton. She
wrote that other people covered. Maybe that was that one.
Dolly Parton, there's a couple. White Stripes did a good version of Jolene.
Yeah, they did, yeah, actually.
Which didn't make my cut, unfortunately.
But the crescendo of that Whitney Houston one, the big dum. And
it's the Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah. All right. Number three.
Yeah, hit me.
I'm pretty sure that this is on your list because when I think of cover songs, I kind of think of this song. But it's my number three.
Now. I don't have it on my list.
Oh, okay.
But I was talking to a friend of mine and Pilo, and he guessed that'd be my number one. I asked him to guess my number one, and
yeah,
I had it on, and then I took it off.
Do you know what? Like, it's a weird one because it's
brilliant, though. Like,
it's brilliant. It's not a song I ever listened to.
No,
but in terms of covers, I think it's, and like I love the original.
I found it hard to believe. My mom used to always tell me the Beatles did that song first.
That doesn't sound like the Beatles.
I'm like, no, it didn't. What are you talking about? Like, that's this fucking caveman with a gravelly voice is singing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
See that big beard? And then, like, you hear it, like, what would you think if I...
And it's so different. And, like, that's the thing. Like, I think it defines what a good cover is. Mm. Is that, like, he totally changes it. Like, you know, you could have All Along the Watchtower. That didn't make my cut.
No,
I
didn't make
one.
Mine either.
But, like, that, like, where it completely transforms the song. And they're both brilliant songs, but he makes it totally his own. And like, I tell you what I love about cover songs back then is like the Beatles did this in 67, and this cover came out in 68. Like, they really didn't wait back then to do covers. They were just like, there were so many of that. And I think he even performed it at Woodstock in 69. And like, this, it's become
that's
like
what I always remember seeing
his big hit.
Yeah.
And I just think, it's just. It's excellent. It's an excellent song.
But, like, he's something else, though. Like, you know.
Joe Cocker?
Yeah, like, he's...
What's he? I know nothing about him bar this song, really.
I mean, he's... like, Space Captain. You know, like, there's... He was the type of guy... I mean, he died. He was, you know... Died.
Drugs?
Yeah, drugs. Like, yeah. You know. But, like, he was the type of guy that was, like... There's a great documentary called 30 Feet to Stardom.
Yeah.
And it's all about... background singers that like soul singers that like you know they sang like what's it like Mary I can't remember her surname, she sang on like Gimme Shelter and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But some of the people they were talking about, it was like they mentioned Joe Cocker being one of the first white guys to use like, you know, black female singers as part of his,
really elevates this song with it, like, because it's kind of like the first Beatles one is kind of like a bit, it's like a poppy sort
it's
of
very
it's nice. But like it's great, but it's totally different, whereas this is like been turned into some anthem of camaraderie. But yeah, anyway, that's my number three.
All right, here's my number three.
Go on. Hit me. What's this? Talking Heads?
Sure is.
I keep seeing him in that fucking big suit everywhere. It's all over my timeline all the time. It's like a meme now or something.
Well, it's, you know, it's iconic.
I blame you for turning me off. What a, I mean, I love you, Terry, but what a bonehead thing to watch.
Went on mushrooms. I mean, it was music, and it was...
You'd seen it before. That's the thing. You were familiar with it.
I was still freaking out, man. Really? Like, I could have taken more mushrooms than you, and I was like...
Had you?
Oh, yeah. So we watched Kingpin, and then we watched...
Did we even watch Kingpin?
Yeah.
Don't even remember that.
And we watched Stop Making Sense. And it kind of... It does turn more sinister.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, like...
I can't even...
Because the lights go all red. And like, this is the last song.
Is that on it?
That's on, yeah.
The Stop Making Sense thing. Okay.
They do, like, Al Green is the original version. But I don't know. I fucking just love that song.
Yeah.
I love the Talking Heads version. I love, like, it's, you know, the Fish sings it as well. Like, you know, Big Mouth Billy Bass sings it. But, like, particularly the Stop Making Sense version. Just like in the grand scheme of things, I'm like, oh, it's low in my mind. I'm like, oh yeah, it's low down on my, if I was sorting the tracks on that album. And then every time I hear it, I'm like, man, that's fucking,
fucking
put
slaps.
It right back up there. Yeah, you know, like, you know, yeah, I want to know, can't you tell me?
One day I'm gonna come back
and
to,
like,
I feel like, because I hear Talking Heads, and it's such a blind spot for me. I hear some of the hits, and I hear people freaking out about him and all this sort of stuff, and being spoken about and all this sort of sense. But like,
I'm raging I didn't get to go see the 4K remaster in the cinema. Now, I'm not, it'll Lighthouse or somebody will show it again.
In 8K next time.
Hmm. 8? 8K? Yeah. Can they do that? I love it. I don't know, I can't gush highly enough about it.
Say no more.
It's just, even that like little bit I was playing there, it's funky. It's, you know, you
can't help but tap your feet, bop your head. Okay. My number two?
Number two, then, go. Yeah, we have not matched one yet.
Ooh.
It's a better version.
I love the Birds so much. I love David Crosby, as you know. And I just think, again, like, this came out, I think, possibly even the same year or the year after Bob Dylan released it. And I do really like Bob Dylan's version. But the fact that this is kind of like...
This is a better version, for me, anyway.
Yeah, I would prefer this version. It's an iconic riff. It's...
happier, you know?
It's happier. It's like, it's... Some, it's a different octave or something to Bob Dylan's one. It's like in a different key or something. I'm not smart enough to know exactly what it is. But
it's
what's interesting.
The difference, I mean, it's to broad strokes, is like the harmonica makes such...
Harmonica?
Yeah, for the Bob Dylan version.
Oh, yeah.
Compared to this one. And like, it just makes it sound harsher or something like that. Like,
he was very harsh with the harmonica in the early days.
You put in
the headphones like... whereas this, you've got harmonies. And interestingly, this was only recorded by Roger McGuinn and session musicians. It wasn't even... None of them wanted to do it.
Really?
David Crosby was so against it.
I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for to fade onto my own parade. Cast your dancing spell my way. I promise to go under it. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. I'm not sleepy and there ain't no place I'm going to.
And it's funny because the Birds kind of ended up at the start being like bit of a Bob Dylan cover band. Like, they had Times They Are A-Changin' and Bells of Rimini and like a bunch, or Rimini, and they...
It's the chipper.
Yeah, Rimini's. Yeah. But they had about 10 Bob Dylan songs. But I always thought this one, and I remember, you know what got me into the birds was that customer.
Sinjin. Yeah.
Who used to buy 6 pre-packed sandwiches, and he came in one day with a list.
Poor devil.
And he got me into a bunch of stuff that I'm still into now. Yeah, I mean, he died soon after. He had his problems.
In squalor. He was an alcoholic. Yeah. You know?
But I just love it. Every time I hear it, it's one of those riffs where, like, you hear it and you're just like, ooh.
You've always said, now that's like whenever we talk, you're like, the rare song that the cover is better than the original.
I fucking love it. Do I have anything else to say about it in my notes? No, it's fine. It's fine.
All right. Ready for my number 2?
Yes. Just missed out on my cut.
Oh, but how?
I had never heard the Otis Redding version.
Yeah. The difference is, you know, it's his is a bit more, how would you say it, like, chauvinistic, or, you know, and then yeah. She's kind of flipped it, and yeah. It's like, no.
Turned into some feminist yeah. anthem or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like,
and also, he didn't have the bit in it, the R-E-S-P-E-C-T no. and all that. Like, no. That's all. Like, did I see this somewhere as being billed as the greatest song of all time?
I mean,
it was number one of some big
hard
list.
To argue. Yeah. Like, it's just unreal. And like,
it is brilliant.
I'm looking at mine here. Before I had Cake In, I had somebody else. And it was like all kind of like Motown or, you know, soul yeah. stuff. And I was like, like, why am I drawn to something? It's like, all right, because it's the best music.
Yeah,
you know,
basically,
it's
yeah.
the best it music is. That everybody pulls everything from. But, you know, it's an absolute anthem. She's yeah. got the fucking, arguably, the greatest voice ever.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like.
Definitely.
Queen Aretha, you know,
it's very it adds a bit of like urgency or something to this, to the,
but even
original,
the guitar,
you
know? Like, you take it for granted is what it is.
Yeah,
you take it for granted.
You kind of do, don't you?
You like, totally take it for
imagine
granted.
You just heard that like
for the first time,
the first time.
At 40 ooh. You're like, what
do you want?
I've been in a coma for 39 years. It's always one. I've been in a coma. What is this music?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Do we have
number one?
Number one, I wonder.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Right. This is my number
where
one.
Where are you?
No. All right. Thank you very much. This
song. Right. I shenanigans, I would say. I'm calling shenanigans on this.
Counts. It's cover.
Is it?
It's on his album. Oh. Take a look.
My favorite Queen song.
I even got goosebumps now.
Yeah.
I think this is such a great version.
Do you think it's better than the Queen version?
Only because I like George Michael more than Queen, but like I love the Queen version too. But this was when Tony actually told me about this like 5 years ago, and he always billed it as like one of his favorite covers. And I remember thinking like, and I it would just like I played it once, and then it kind of would be in my shuffle, and every time it came on, I'm just like, he changes it just enough that it's like, I'm like, oh, it just gives me an extra oomph that I'm after with this song. I work hard, it was hard, every day of my life, I work to lie in my
somebody, 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 anybody find me.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite George Michael songs, and I'm a big George Michael's man these days.
But he does it with Queen.
It's the backing band.
Queen of the... Yeah. He
did such a good version.
I know. They wanted them to, to take over.
You're breathing on my foot.
Yeah,
but
they wanted them to take over. And he's the perfect choice.
I know.
To take over from Freddie Mercury.
Like. But yeah, he has his own thing going on. Yeah, I get it. Okay, the Queen thing, fine. But, you know.
If it was George Michael and his band, maybe.
Yeah, but like, it's not the music part.
It's him.
It's purely him. Like, I'm not even noticing what's going on in the background. Like, anyone can play the chords. Granted, Queen came up with it.
Yeah.
But like, it's the vocals.
Anybody can play it.
Like, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, his own band could play that just as well. Mm. You know what I mean?
Disagree. But yeah, they could do it very well.
You wouldn't.
Yeah.
Indistinguishable.
Distinguishable.
Anyway, George, I love you.
Speaking of what's going on, here's my number one.
It's a cover?
Oh, yes, sir.
Ooh.
Possibly the greatest song ever. Yeah. Possibly the greatest song ever, like. Mm. Listen to this.
Have you heard the a cappella version?
Yes. Great.
What a great opening line.
Now let's.
Bet you're wondering how I knew.
Right.
Like, oh,
this is the original.
Badass.
Like, Gladys Knight and the Pips. Right? Oh. Different.
Okay.
Ooh. It's good though, right?
Sounds class as well. Yeah. You know what? There's something about
the
Marvin Gaye's version is a bit like got your ass.
Yeah, the Marvin Gaye version is just not like.
I mean, how good is that? And I've seen some live performances and a few others where he's just fucking kills it every time.
He's the best, like he's the best ever, and like
my god,
not, like I don't know. The bit that I always get, it's almost like, you know, he's like pulling a tablecloth off a table. It's like, I bet you wonder how I knew. Like he's doing some sort of trick with that when the music, like up here and then I'm going to come in like.
So like
with
you know,
some other guy.
Yeah. I see just the little bits where it's like, you know, just a little background. That you let me go, and it's just perfect. It's the perfect song.
Unreal.
Oh.
It's like, I mean, like when people ask me like, what's your favorite song? I'm like,
it's probably up
probably
there.
That. It probably is that. Like, it's my go-to.
There's no, you've never in a million years.
It's hard to get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So like, you'd be at a party and that plays. If anyone said, throw that off, if they're kicked out.
If somebody put that on at a party, I think there would be like three or four people being like, oh! Because you don't hear it as well. Oh. And it's like primal almost.
Yeah,
right?
You
know, like.
It's like almost like, I mean, this is going to sound like it's doing it a disservice, but it's almost like a standard, you know, like happy birthday. Or like standard that's been around forever. It's like that. It's just, it's so perfect. It's just fucking, you know, timeless is the word.
And then like, you know, it's been covered since then. Like, you know, it's Creedence have done it. Like, which, no, not for me.
Ahoy through the grapevine.
Ahoy, Mr. Squidward. I heard it through the grapevine. I mean money, Mr. Squidward.
But yeah,
I had a bunch of like, you know, notably, except you kind of went through a few
alternates.
Yeah, like there's a great one that I had on our garbage patrol list. Cover of Leonard Cohen song Suzanne that Nina Simone.
Oh yeah,
does, and I just like.
I was considering Hallelujah, a Leonard Cohen cover.
Yeah,
Jeff Buckley.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. We listened to that album there recently. Here's my hot take.
Oh.
Tim Buckley is better than Jeff Buckley. That's an exclusive. Tim Buckley, greater than Jeff Buckley.
You
broke the internet.
I don't know enough about Tim Buckley.
Go listen to some Tim Buckley, man. He fucking slaps.
There's something, yeah, but there's something about Jeff Buckley. Something otherworldly about Jeff Buckley.
Because he's dead.
Yeah, maybe.
He's a ghost.
But there's something where I'm just like, did he even exist? Was he even, you know.
Oh, he existed.
Like a James Dean or a fucking.
James Dean is on celluloid.
He's very much alive. He lives in his 50s.
he made 5 movies. it's right there. Look, here's the film reel.
But you know what, Tim Buckley, what
do you have? Any alternates?
I had Aretha Franklin as an alternate. I had I can't remember now. Fuck, I had a few. I can't remember. A few Beatles ones. I got nothing there.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
I had a great top five. You had to stump me on my alternates.
That's right.
All right.
Well, thanks so much for the suggestion,
Rob.
Rob. I'm giving you the eyes.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're like,
Yeah.
What's wrong with your eyes, buddy? great fun doing this episode. Yeah, love doing the L Top Fives, guys. So I really appreciate it.
Keep them coming.
You're behind the paywall, so you get the big L from me. I love you.
And if I may say, they're really getting bang for their buck this month, aren't they?
You're getting a souped sons of bitches. Up extra style episode.
There's been solo pods. There's been pretty much a Patreon every week for the last few weeks.
I've been itching to get a solo pod out. And I tell you what, we just got a coffee table into the house. Ooh. No more assembling a kid's table and putting a bunch of jigsaws together to make a podcast stand for me.
You heard it here first, folks. You.
So I got a bunch of stuff I want to ramble on about watching.
Great.
Yeah.
Save it
I'll do
that.
It on my time. I'll do it on my time, all
right? Right. Well, folks, we're going to get out of here. Yeah. But thank you very, very much for the support. We love you. And see you next time.
Boom. Bye.
you.